The Wolf Wilder, Chapter 10. Alexei, Ilya and Theo were in sight of the chimney smoke of the village when a thought occurred to her and she tipped herself off Black's back.
"Why are we stopping?"
asked Alexei.
"Come on, we're nearly there."
"Two reasons. First, I thought it might be best if they didn't see us riding, just in case."
"Just in case what?" said Ilya.
"Well, just in case they have laws against it or something."
"Laws against riding wolves on village in village streets? Is that likely?"
But Ilya climbed off Grey's back and stood beside her. "Just in case," she said. In fact, just in case it went badly and they had to make an escape, she thought, it was best if people didn't know how fast they could go. It was best to be wary. "Let's leave the bulls here, if they'll stay. I don't want anyone to hurt them." And then, seeing the incredulity in Alexei's face, she added, "Or the other way around."
You said two reasons," said Ilya.
"I'm hungry, aren't you? I think I'd feel a lot braver with food. Alexei, did you bring that jackdaw?" They found a spot where the snow was thin, and Theo tore down some branches for firewood. Ilya struggled with the fire, fumbling with the matches in his cold hands. She watched Alexei, ready to bite him if he laughed. If anyone was laughing at Ilya, it would be her. But he only swatted on his haunches and stared at the world around him. She followed his gaze. The blue sky was the blue of winter palaces. The snow stretched untouched for miles, and the half-grown trees dipped like praying polar bears.
That's a special kind of lovely," said Ilya,
looking up as the fire stuttered into life.
"Even if we get caught, I'm glad I came."
Theo halved and gutted the jackdaw. They decided not to waste time plucking it. Instead, they sliced the skin off and threw it to the wolves. "How long do you need to cook jackdaw for?" she asked. "A minute?"
"An hour," said Ilya. 5 hours," said Alexei. We'll just have to taste it until it's ready," said Ilya. "I volunteer to do the tasting," said Alexei.
None of them had ever cooked a jackdaw, but Ilya had read in a story in which it had been done in sticks.
"Fictional food's not reliable," Alexei objected, but Theo agreed with Ilya.
They cut one half of the bird into slices and held these on sticks in the feathering tips of the flames, and the other half, still in a lump, they placed in the burning heart of the fire. Theo threw a few scraps to the wolves on the sly. The meat from the hot centre of the flames kept catching fire and having to be blown out.
"I think it's ready," said Ilya. "It looks cooked. It just doesn't look much like meat anymore."
Theo licked a chunk. It was vile on the outside, tasting of charcoal and stray feathers, but inside it only tasted blank. She and Ilya swatted side by side for warmth. Alexei lay on his back on the other side of the fire. Every mouthful took 50 chews. After 40 chews, Theo's jaws mutinied against her, and she spat it out into the snow.
"I think," said Ilya, "we marginally overdid this one."
The meat from the top of the flames took much longer to cook, and Theo's arm was aching by the time she thought her slice might be done. She pulled it off the stick with her teeth. It oozed a little blood, but it tasted magnificent, like a bolder kind of pigeon. It kicked energy into Theo's heart. It was rich and soft, and the juice ran down Theo's chin. She fended Black away before he could lick it off. He was wearing a jackdaw's feather over one eye. Alexei kicked snow over the fire, and White peed on it, and they went on. Theo and Ilya walked
not quite hand in hand, but close enough that their arms bumped against each other, their ears still full of the resentful growls of the wolves.
Keep your cloak wrapped tight, Ilya, said Alexei. Don't let people see your uniform.
Ilya nodded, laughing awkwardly, and wrapped his cloak so tightly around his shoulders that his neck turned blue. Theo sniffed the air. It smells all right, she said. I think I like it.
It smells of food, said Ilya. I definitely like it.
The village was tiny. Just a few rows of houses, with thin roads between them, and a square in the centre. The square had a fire burning in the stone trough, and a few children warming their hands. The houses were small, but each had thick white smoke coming out of the chimney. The square was swept almost free of snow. It was paved with slabs of stones. Someone, long ago, had painted them sun yellow and red. The red had faded to pink. They shone out like a sunrise. It was a cheering sight.
Yana did that, said Alexei, pointing at the stone. She's my cousin. My uncle Grigory smacked her for it.
There was a huddle of women, their heads wrapped in scarves, laughing over something in the street. The sun shone through their shawls and cast coloured shadows onto the snow. There were men leaning on doors, arguing. And their beards were quite amazing. Theo had met few men, and none of them had had beards like these. You could have hidden a family of mice in the smallest. The largest, which bristled down to the man's hip bone, could have sheltered at least two medium-sized cats. They had worn hands with chipped nails, and some were missing teeth. They seemed to have intelligent faces, as far as she could see. It was hard to tell under the beards. Alexei waved at a man with a high-necked blue jacket and muddy trousers.
Uncle Grigory! The man approached. Alexei, it's good to see you alive. We wondered.
He looked at the two children next to Alexei, who were trying to look brave and unobtrusive at the same time. Ilya pointed a toe and studied it.
Who are these?
Strangers made Theo's tongue slow. So Alexei did the talking and Theo did the staring.
Uncle Grigory, we need help. Rakos coming after us. What have you done now, idiot boy? Barely anything. But we need somewhere to sleep. Just for a single night. You can help, can't you, Grigory?
Perhaps because the man was huge, almost twice the height of Theo and three times as wide, his silence felt enormous. Theo stared at him. His face was unreadable, partly because there was so much beard to negotiate, but partly because his eyebrows and nostrils and mouth and forehead, the places humans let emotion leak out, were absolutely still. When he did speak, it was not encouraging.
These wouldn't be the child felons. Not the half-grown witches who blinded Rakov.
Well, that wasn't me, said Ilya. It was her. Theo mouthed. Thanks a lot. She redoubled her efforts to look innocent, but she wasn't absolutely sure how it was done. The man grunted.
You girl. That doesn't surprise me. You've a face that says there's a knife in your shoe.
We just wanted to know, Theo whispered, if you could give us some food. Grigory turned to Alexei.
Is this another of your schemes? He said.
Alexei grinned, impervious.
It might be,
he gasped Grigory by the elbow. He grasped Grigory by the elbow.
Listen, she's got Rakov on the back foot. He's frightened of her. And I think she could persuade people to fight. She'll do nothing of the kind, said Grigory.
He gave her a glare and Theo ducked to get out of its way.
You see that house?
He gestured to one of the buildings. Its door was swinging drunkenly off its hinges.
That was Alexander's house, a good man. Rakov took him last week, and my Paul before. Have you forgotten, Alexei? We do nothing to make it worse, nothing. Come on, Grigory, said Alexei.
The grin wavered but stayed in place.
Don't be like that. Theo's barely met another human before. You put her off grown-ups of life. Look, if people want to listen, that's their own business.
The older man's eyes were neither kind nor patient.
If we are punished for your folly, that is more than your own business.
But a cluster of men had approached, and one leaned forward out of the group. His hair was grey, but his voice was colourful and rich.
Is this the girl? The one who blinded the general? I say we listen to them, he said. No harm in listening. Alex is a child, not a wizard. We don't lose control of our brains by listening.
Alexei seemed entirely unconcerned by the growing crowd, by the size of the men, by their hostile eyes, by their beards. Theo and Ilya edged behind him. The eyes followed.
Thank you. Thank you, Nikolai, said Alexei. All I want is for you to listen. I can't take much more of Alexei talking, said Grigory. My ears tire easily these days. But it's different now. Rakov's obsessed. He's not thinking like a general. He's unhinged. Or at least unhinging. This is the time.
The grey-haired man turned and called to a cluster of men down the street.
Call a meeting, he said. Yevgeny! Alex!
Grigory sighed.
Call a meeting, then. You!
Grigory pointed to Alex.
You come. But no strangers. That's the law. Leave them in the square. And if they do any damage to the village, I hold you responsible.
Adults started to come out of the wooden houses, wiping their hands and their trousers, wedging on caps against the cold. Children followed them, staring hard. The adults, as they passed Theo, glanced first at her red cloak, then at the ice and the dirt around the hem of her skirt. Theo tried to look like filthy clothes were in fashion where she came from. She tried to look taller.
Come on, let's sit down. Let's sit down.
Ilya took her by the hand, and they retreated to the oak tree in the middle of the square and sat down against it, blowing on their hands for warmth. The children gathered in a semicircle. They were all beautifully clean, dressed in thick boiled wool. There were about 20 of them. The oldest, at least 5 years older than her. The youngest, only just taller than the snow, with a crop of curls. Theo wanted to touch the curls, but kept her hands behind her back. Toddlers like wolves are unpredictable.
Who are you?
Said one. Theo looked at each face in turn. They were not friendly, but nor were they unkind. Wary mostly.
Why are they calling a meeting? Is it about you?
Theo shrugged.
I think so. What have you done?
A boy of about 8, with a gap where his 2 front teeth should be, stared at them.
Have you murdered someone? No. Stolen something?
He looked hopefully at her bag. No. The eldest of the girls stared hard.
Broken the law?
Fee was about to say no when she remembered Rakov's swollen, lividly angry face. She shrugged again. Ilya said,
we just need to know some things about St. Petersburg. She's just passing through. We're all just passing through.
What all? Said the boy. There's 2 of you.
Theo glared at Ilya.
He's not good with grammar. Another girl kicked a little snow at them.
So, what do you want?
I'm going to find my mother. She was arrested.
For murder?
Said the gap-tooth boy. The hope was sharp in his voice.
No.
No, said Theo. I mean, sorry, still no. For nothing. She's done nothing.
But that doesn't stop people getting arrested, said a blonde girl.
We know that. Being innocent isn't any protection. Theo nodded. I'm not absolutely. Not exactly and absolutely innocent. The man who took my mother, I damaged him a bit.
The boy's eyes lit up.
Did you?
No, I... What's your name?
Sergei.
And that's my little sister, Clara.
He indicated a 5-year-old with a wide smile and a runny nose.
Then, Sergei, I promise to tell you, if ever I murder anyone, but he's angry, because I don't know, he thinks it's embarrassing to be hurt by a girl.
The eldest girl squared her shoulders. She was big, with plump knees and strong arms.
That's not clever, she said. Not clever at all.
Theo grinned at her, trying not to let the shyness in her chest make her smile go odd. Other children always made her shy. Smiling and shyness together were difficult. It made her nostrils hurt. Another child, a girl younger than Theo, and with wide set eyes, pushed forward.
What was his name? The man who took your mother?
Rakov. General Mikhail Rakov.
The hush that fell when the children was sudden and solemn. They glanced at Sergei and at the eldest of the girls, mouths pursed and fists clenched.
Oh, said Sergei.
He sounded half proud, but his eyes were miserable.
Oh, we knew about him, don't we, Yana?
Yes. He took our brother, Paul, said the eldest girl, to be in the army.
But Paul didn't want to be in the army, so he ran away.
Sergei screwed up his face and, under pretense of itching his eyebrows, dug his fists into his eyes.
What happened? Said Ilya.
His voice was flat. He sounded as if he had already guessed.
He died, didn't he? Said Yana. Rakov shot him.